This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. This afternoon, President Biden in Peru will meet with Chinese leader Xi Jinping. ABC's Alex Brache is there and says this could be the final meeting between the two while in office. He has more on what the White House says they'll discuss.
The continuation of this military-to-military communication to prevent any further provocations in that region. Something else that the two countries are going to discuss, according to the White House, are these counter-narcotics efforts. And then also AI safety, which has actually been a huge theme throughout APEC.
It's the APEC summit. From there, the president will travel to Brazil for the G20. Some Republican senators say they want to see the House Ethics Committee report into Attorney General nominee Matt Gaetz. Speaker Mike Johnson says he opposes releasing the report since Gaetz is no longer in Congress. He was being investigated for allegations of drug use and sexual misconduct, which he's denied. And federal prosecutors say Sean Combs is trying to obstruct justice from jail. He's pleaded not guilty to sex trafficking charges. Attorneys for the man accused of killing four University of Idaho students in 2022 are challenging key pieces of evidence ahead of his trial scheduled for next summer.
Brian Koberger's attorneys are arguing genealogy or family tree DNA analysis that was done to track him down after DNA was found at the crime scene is unconstitutional, and that all evidence in the case that came from making that genealogy match should get tossed out, including searches of his home and car and data pulled from his Amazon and Apple accounts. But genealogy is widely used now to track down suspects. His attorneys claim without that DNA match, which they say was done illegally, that there is no case against Koberger. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Nearly 20 years since his last pro boxing match, Mike Tyson faced off against YouTube star-turned-boxer Jake Paul in Texas last night. Paul beat the 58-year-old in a fight that had viewers complaining about a lack of action and tech problems on Netflix. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. It's now in the hands of the state Supreme Court. Wisconsin's highest judiciary will decide the fate of the state's 1849 abortion law. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
A circuit court determined last year that an 1849 law doesn't apply to medically consented abortions in Wisconsin. The high court heard arguments Monday about whether a 1985 state law overrides the older one, allowing abortions before the point at which a fetus could survive outside the womb. Jenny Higgins, professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, says returning to the status quo would mean a dire landscape for abortion access.
Even though abortion is technically available at clinics in Wisconsin right now, it's heavily restricted because of insurance and Medicaid prohibitions. People have to pay out of pocket for a service that should be covered by insurance.
Abortion access disproportionately affects those who are already the most marginalized, Higgins says. She notes while people from all walks of life may find themselves needing abortion care, factors like poverty and racism make it much harder for some to achieve reproductive autonomy compared to those with more economic and social resources.
Those effects make it much harder for folks to be able to access contraceptive care, be in relationships relationships that are stable and healthy and communicative, be able to see past the end of the day, right, into one's future, if you are, again, sort of focused mostly on your own economic scarcity or figuring out how to feed your kids or figuring out how not to get evicted.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny with a high near 51. Chance of rain, maybe a rumble of thunder overnight tonight. We'll see a low around 44. Partly sunny for Sunday, a high of 56. Rain in the afternoon Monday, highs of 55. For Tuesday, chance of rain and 60.
Currently 46 degrees.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, John Nichols from The Nation and The Cap Times. We'll talk about John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, and his relationship to Trump. Plus, Jesse Waters says RFK Jr. is going to make it sexy like the 90s. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Listening to Raised in Wisco.
Oh man, Danielle,
what
take us
that?
Into the show.
Who is that person
take
talking
us into
right
the
now?
Show.
Welcome to Raised in Wisco. It is Danielle, your clear voice host over here, Danielle Fairman, alongside no voice Joel Clayfish with Mike Kretschmer and Fun Finley in the corner. We're
Fun
very
Finley,
excited about this.
Mike Kretschmer's daughter's joining us. I'm going to be speaking a little more quietly during this show because what happens in the last 3 weeks, I've traveled to and from four different states, four different countries on 8 to 10 airplanes, 10 to 15 trains.
Oh, jeez.
And innumerable amounts
planes,
of automobiles,
trains, and automobiles
on very little sleep and jet lag. And so I got back last week, and lo and behold, I was under the weather for the first couple of days. Now, I'm in that scenario that so many people find themselves in where you feel great, but your voice is the last thing to catch up. So I do have the ability to speak like this. Which,
Which
is Batman. I am Batman. We got producer Jess in the cubicle helping us out today. And it's driving me a little nuts because I don't have the regular power of my voice. And we have so much awesomeness to talk about today.
I hear you and I see you. They're just not matching
it's
up.
It's glitching.
This is weird.
It's glitching.
It's kind of funny, actually.
Is it? It just doesn't sound like what it's.
You're like so enthusiastic.
Animated.
And animated, but your voice is not.
It's just, it's
there.
A shell of what it once was.
The last time I lost my voice was when I was working at a haunted house. And I was scaring the daylights out of people. Like, it was an accomplishment when I would get, like, punched or pushed or just slapped.
Just
I'm like,
yelling.
Yes, I scared you so bad. Ha ha. But then, like, 3 days later, zero. No voice, not happening.
Yeah,
I did that
for
season two, Danielle.
What was that?
I did that for season two.
What did you play, producer Jess? What did you play in the haunted house?
Oh, I was a very spooky ghost in a graveyard, but I also posed riddles.
Ooh.
Did you also have that, like, indistinguishable European accent that you just showed us there for a second?
It was good.
Was that? Was that like Lithuanian? Or?
I don't know. That's just my inner voice. It's just what
like
she
it.
Sounds like.
I had.
Oh, yeah. I was a librarian.
A librarian?
Oh, yeah.
A librarian?
But it was the wonderful.
Like a dead librarian?
Oh, yes. I was the zombie librarian. But it was the airbrush, so it was the easiest thing possible. You just do a white base with the airbrush, and then you squint really hard and do pucker lips, and then you just do a couple sprays of black, and it
And it settles in the lines. It settles in the lines you're making. And
I got told by our makeup artist I was a waste of white paint because.
So you're really tan.
Yeah.
Listen here. Porcelain skin is nothing to be ashamed of, okay? Both of my children are blessed with porcelain skin. So that's it. If you need a little less clown white, you're fine. Yeah. I can't even laugh right. It's so. Could you imagine in a lab? Be like in a haunted house.
That's me burping.
I'd be better off like. The child is mine.
That's a little better.
That's better. Right. That's kind of creepy.
You know, you kind of sound like RFK Jr. a little bit. I've watched a couple of videos.
Yeah,
he's got that raspy.
He's got a little raspy voice. Yeah. No, that line that I just gave was a line from The Exorcist. Like she turns her head and says, "The child is mine."
It is.
It still raises the hair on my
arms. I don't
like
arms. Scary movies, so
that's
I don't want that stuff.
That's the scariest one ever made, in my opinion.
Oh, The Exorcist is terrifying.
Because any of those movies that could actually be real, they freak me out, bro.
Yeah.
Like, well, bro, they're sus.
Hollywood or The Ring. The Ring got me really good, too.
Hollywood and
I was also The Ring for Halloween, that chick.
Why? You see some of that stuff, you're like, why? Who comes up with that stuff? Switch the channel.
Yeah. So anyway, Raised in Wisco, your show about topical events that have to do with frightening people. I want to get into our weekly Wiscos because my last week was so intense and insane and awesome. I can't
plane,
even put
trains,
it into words.
Automobiles.
First of all, we broadcast last week. I was in Spain for the broadcast. It was like 3 a.m. I was up and did the broadcast there and was going Bassetti ibex hunting and hadn't gone hunting Bassetti ibex hunting yet. Since that time, I hunted a Bassetti ibex in the mountains. I came home, hunted turkeys, hunted geese, and hunted deer here in Wisconsin. So I literally flew 9 hours away to hunt one animal, came back and hunted four five different animals
awesome.
In the following 3 days after that. I mean, how only in Wisconsin, right?
All right.
This
That's
is
where
like,
the voice went to.
This is, well, yeah, I was, there was no getting out of that whole thing alive with my voice. I'm just telling you. I'm going to take you through this hunt real quick in Spain. We're out in the mountains. We're 7,000 feet above sea level. So the air's getting a little thin. It's tough, you know, there was one point at which I wanted to show, like, I took a video of like how tough the terrain was. The video rolled for 7 seconds and I fell.
Yeah. Oh, no.
With the phone in my hands. So you can see me fall.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, well, that didn't take long. But
were you walking? Like, what was the brush like? What was it like?
It was all real rocky because you kind of go above the tree lines to find these ibex. And if you don't know what a Bassetti ibex is, Bessieite, ibex, look it up. They're the coolest, craziest looking animals. And you go through the mountains and you use binoculars to find them on the mountaintops coming out of little crevices or standing on top of a rock at the top of a mountain. And all of a sudden, we're really struggling. It was pouring rain on and off.
Ooh.
It was cold. And it was just a real tough hunt. And all of a sudden, we get a call from one of the guys who's scouting. He's like, I think I see an ibex on the mountain across from the mountain we're on.
Oh, no.
Perfect.
Perfect. So we
bring the plane over.
And I'm going to try to describe this in a way that it makes sense. We go over there. And it looks, you know how a fork has like 4 or 5 tines on it, right? On the top.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it looked like there was a 2-tined fork sticking above a bush. It was an ibex like lying down.
Oh, geez.
Behind a bush. And it was 370 yards away across to the other mountain. And so we get ourselves in. So I'm afraid of heights. So
you're
I'm already,
not really?
Well, I don't love them. So I'm already a little janky on the edge of this mountain. And I'm looking across and the guide who speaks pretty much only Spanish. So my Spanish really improved while I was there.
That's good.
But still not perfect. He's telling me in Spanish to come by him to lie down on the ground and set up, you know, the shot. And he's standing on the edge of a mountain, like on a cliff, on a rock. And there's a rock that's about 5 feet long. And he's like, lie down here. And it's a cliff.
Oh, man.
Literally a cliff. And I don't love heights. He's like, no, this is the shot here. And I'm like, here. And I'm standing back. He's like, no, here. So I weasel my way up. And I'm like, I got my back against a rock. And he's like, lie down on the rock.
And you're like, oh, boy.
And he puts the backpack on the edge of the cliff. And he's like, rest your gun here. So
you have to get even closer to the edge.
Yes, I had to be, my hand was like on the stock of the gun over the edge of the cliff. And my legs are twisted in some kind of upside down pretzel behind me into a pine tree. I mean, I looked like I had all sorts of measles when it was over because all the pine needles were sticking in my legs because I didn't want to be hanging over the ledge. And he's like, now watch that ibex so I can see the forks of the tines of the fork moving back and forth. And I could see a little hole, which was his neck. And so all of a sudden they're like, we'll try to get it to stand up. And I'm thinking, yeah, please get it to stand up. I'm already at 375 yards. This thing's a little, you know, a thumbprint in the scope. And so they start making these noises.
Oh, yeah.
Were you giggling?
Like in Spanish. In Spanish. I don't know. You can't really make noises in Spanish, but they're like, yeep. Like thinking, yeep, this thing's going to stand up. It doesn't stand up. So
people yipping in the background.
This guy lights a cigarette and he's smoking a cigarette and then he gets the dog to bark. So now the dog's barking violently and they're yelling like, yeep, yeep, yeep. The thing does not stand up and it starts pouring and lightning
on top
us.
Of it.
Oh, my goodness.
The
so that sound is not traveling anywhere.
Oh, no. This had to hear us, but this thing was like hunkered down. He's like, I need you. He's like, I need
Start
you to
yipping.
Be a really, really good shot.
Yeah.
Like a 9 out of 10.
Oh.
And I'm like, I'll
right.
try. So I
yards almost.
Concentrated, squeezed the trigger and shot. In the little 5-inch gap, put a perfectly ethical, clean kill, dropped it on the spot.
Nice. Good
it
for you.
It was
That's
so
awesome.
Exciting. I cannot even tell you how awesome it was.
It'd be hilarious
and
to hear them.
We celebrated, and they all drank shots of, like, Spanish rum, and I had, like, Coke Zero, because that's like what they have everywhere in Europe.
Oh, really?
Coke Zero. And they also drink non-alcoholic Radlers, which are non-alcoholic beer and Diet 7-Up, which I love.
You love Radlers.
I love Radlers. So I had a Radler, and we were in, we staged in the ruins of this cottage that was built in the 1300s.
Really?
It was so incredible.
You always find those perfect places to stay.
Gosh, it was incredible. 1300. Someone had built this 1,000 years ago, and we're staging there on our hunt.
Wow.
You know? And it was such an incredible time. So that, yeah. And you guys, you're not going to believe it. We have an interview with Salva Monforte, which we're going to have in the show.
It's
going to play. This kid didn't think he was great at speaking English, and he was awesome, and he did such a great job. You're going to love that. We got more stories. Wisconsin Weekly Wisco's coming up. You're listening to Danielle saying I can't
Raised
talk.
In Wisco.
From the center, WRCE.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin.
Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
In Wisco. Look at my voice is getting better as the show progresses. It's Ricky Martin. It's Spanish Adventures. I don't know what it is, but man, what? So
this music does get you hyped.
That story. I mean, hanging on the edge of the cliff, taking a shot, if I'm telling you what, if you miss anything about Raised in Wisco or an episode of Raised in Wisco, don't fear. You can listen to all of our old episodes at civicmedia.us and then go to shows and go to Raised in Wisco. And you can listen on Spotify and Apple Podcasts just by searching Raised in Wisco, R-A-I-S-E-D, in W-I-S-C-O.
Oh.
Yeah, that was such an incredible trip. It was probably the most exciting shot I've ever taken at Wild Game. And we're going to talk to Salvamon Forte coming up. He was the son of the owner of the outfitter, and he was along on our hunt step by step as we hung off the edge of the cliff.
So, yeah, the video that you – sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you, Mike. The video that you showed us during break was exactly that, but it was more picturesque in picture as you were showing us the video because you were above the treetops overlooking everything, but everything looks like a black blob out there. I don't know how you can – decipher what
you can't
a tree
see anything
and a rock.
Unless
like,
you're in
so far.
a 20 power scope, basically.
That far, yeah.
And then when you do zoom in, even if it's perfectly still, it's bouncing around
right
in the scope.
Oh, yeah. You got to make sure you're exhaling and going through the motion. That's far. I've never shot anything that far.
But also the Zen moment of that, where I just spit everywhere, where the Zen moment of that, where it goes right to my mind and you hear the raindrops dropping on everything.
Yeah.
And then you, for me, sitting on that cliff would be great. I would love to do that. I do that when I go hiking and everything. But with you not liking heights,
What? Part of hunting and part of the cool thing about Raised in Wisco and what we talk to you about and what we love to share with you and encourage you to do is to step out of that comfort zone once in a while. One of the beauties of being in nature and experiencing Wisconsin is stepping out of your comfort zone a little, because the second you do, you're going to experience something new and you're going to want more of that. And it was so incredible. And I'm really excited. We got two cooking segments. We're going to talk about the group of folks we had over for dinner on Saturday. Oh. Danielle,
yes.
You were there. We had Wild Game Feast at our house. Kretschmer, you didn't show up. Thanks a lot.
In North Dakota.
North Dakota. I'm excited to hear about that.
But that essentially, the Spain trip was incredible. Harvested a beautiful, amazing Basetti Ibex. We'll put the pictures up for you. But I'm really excited. It was so funny because I asked them, I'm like, I'm going to cook Basetti Ibex. And they're like, oh.
What?
And
no.
I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, oh, it is disgusting. Then they said, it tastes like, and it's a word that starts with S-H and ends with T. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. What do you do with the meat? They make dog food out of it.
What?
Now, it's not wasting the meat. Dogs have to eat.
No, it is not wasting it. I love dogs. You know this.
Dog food? I am going to make something out of Basetti Ibex that you will like. And they were all like, no, it's crap. We're not eating it. No,
well, you,
no.
Joel Clayfish, are the one to make anything taste good. So
well, I take that as a compliment. I think people think that I'm better at it than I am because I fake it and I make it very simply. But
fake it till you make it.
I'm going to tell you. So I said, okay, what do you want me to make? Tell me a type of food. And we're in Spain.
Right.
We're in Spain. And they look at me and they both, like Salva and the other guy who was there, Dragos. Dragos was from the Ukraine, but he was in there as a guide in Spain. So he spoke Spanish. I don't know. It's several different languages. I said, what should we make? And they both looked at me and said, can you make Mexican? So I'm in Spain. I said, I can. I'll make enchiladas. So we had Mexican food in Spain out of the Spanish IMAX.
That you made.
Very weird that I made. But it was kind of like a Spanish version of it. Oh my gosh.
They loved it. Of course they did.
Okay. The person who ran the lodge, she had a backup meal made because they were afraid it wasn't going to be good.
Smart though.
I made 16 enchiladas for 6 people and they ate the whole pan of them.
Aww,
they all started with a little taste and they ate the whole pan. They were so good. We're going to have that linked on Raised in Wisco's page. You can see that recipe and then you can check it out on the provider page as well. And we're going to talk about that recipe also coming up. This is a show. I know we're not going to get to half of the stuff.
Never. We
so
never
my
do.
Weekly Wisco. I came back, hunted turkeys, and then Saturday, we had a game feast at our house. Danielle, you were there. We had axis deer ribs.
Oh yes, Megan made those, and they were telling her not to keep the ribs, were they not?
Yes.
And they were telling her not to keep the ribs. She put it on the Traeger that you have, and it was the best. All of us are holding a rib and just gnawing on the bone.
Nice.
And it was like so Fred delicious. Flintstone style. They were huge. Really?
Which is the normal way I eat food. So
yes.
But.
Don't we all?
And then Alexandra Lauren, made the most amazing shrimp.
I hate
with this
shrimp.
Unbelievable tartar sauce. They tasted like little tender morsels of breaded lobster. They were incredible.
Really?
And she made this Cajun tartar sauce.
Oh, so good.
That was phenomenal. And then Ellie Mae Smoller, she made homemade pita tortillas. We were calling them torpedas because they were like a hybrid. Jess, I saw you laugh back there. Yeah. That's one of my goals, to get you to laugh. That's one of my goals on the show.
Funny.
Well, I appreciate
it. I want laughing from the fishbowl back there. So she made these homemade, handmade torpedoes, and I made alligator heroes on the grill.
No.
Homemade tzatziki?
Yes, tzatziki sauce. So Ellie Lawton Smoller, that's her actual name. We call her Ellie Mae Smoller on the show, but she made tres leches cake, which is literally like my favorite ever in the world.
That was the first time for me.
And she made this lemon custard-esque pie.
And I took half of it home. I'm like, nobody's going to miss this. Everyone's where did it go?
I wondered where the hell that went.
In my fridge.
Nice. Well, I'm going to tell you.
I was being greedy.
I have been eating those torpedoes every day since. I made them with goose Michoacan styles. Oh, my gosh. So, and Megan, the ribs were amazing. The desserts were amazing. Mm-hmm. Alex's shrimp was unbelievable. It was like a feast like no other.
That's awesome.
I am never happier than when I'm eating wild game
with
made deliciously.
Right.
I found out that I really love fennel.
I found out that Speckle Belly is
phenomenal. You did.
Let's do his. We're going to do Mike's Raised in Wisco, which took place in North Dakota. So
Weekly Wisco.
You just got back from hunting waterfowl. We got 1 minute. Unbelievable. We don't have enough time in the show. You just got back from North Dakota. Tell me about Speck. I told you it was amazing.
Yeah, so after last year or the year before, Joel did say it was like one of the best wild game options there are. And we literally did half Coke and half Italian, marinated it, threw it on the grill. That was it. Medium rare.
Speckle Belly.
It's better than beef. I'm not kidding.
Better than beef tenderloin.
Oh, whoa. Okay. You heard it here.
You're not
going
to believe it. You get to hear Salva Monforte Jr. He is going to take us through what we were planning for on the prep of the hunt. This was before the hunt. He did not know it would be so successful. And it was. This show goes around the world, goes around Wisconsin. It's Raised in Wisco.
Woo!
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. This afternoon, President Biden in Peru will meet with Chinese leader Xi Jinping. ABC's Alex Brochet is there and says this could be the final meeting between the two while in office. He has more on what the White House says they'll discuss.
The continuation of this military-to-military communication to prevent any further provocations in that region. Something else that the two countries are going to discuss, according to the White House, are these counter-narcotics efforts. And then also AI safety, which has actually been a huge theme throughout APEC.
It's the APEC summit. From there, the president will travel to Brazil for the G20. Some Republican senators say they want to see the House Ethics Committee report into Attorney General nominee Matt Gaetz. Speaker Mike Johnson says he opposes releasing the report since Gaetz is no longer in Congress. He was being investigated for allegations of drug use and sexual misconduct, which he's denied. And federal prosecutors say Sean Combs is trying to obstruct justice from jail. He's pleaded not guilty to sex trafficking charges.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers upset Arizona. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Arizona Wildcats were ranked 9th in the nation, but on a night, the Badgers honored now Hall of Fame coach Bo Ryan. They beat Arizona 103-88. Missouri transfer John Fanjay led Wisconsin with 41 points.
As far as Wisconsin, I feel like I want to be a part of, you know, a night like this. I think we have a great, amazing coaching staff. I just want to be a part of something special. Today we had, you know, alumni come in and we celebrated some of the guys from the Sweet 16 teams. I mean, it was just...
Final Four.
Even better. My bad.
They host Texas Rio Grande Valley Monday at the Kohl Center. NBA, Bucks on the road in Charlotte tonight to play the Hawks. College football, Wisconsin and number one ranked Oregon. Kickoff at 6:30 tonight at Camp Randall. The Packers in Chicago against the Bears tomorrow at noon. Rookie running back Marshawn Lloyd, just back from an ankle injury, will not be able to play.
Unfortunately, he had appendicitis, so.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny with a high near 51. Chance of rain, maybe a rumble of thunder overnight tonight. We'll see a low around 44. Partly sunny for Sunday, a high of 56. Rain in the afternoon Monday, highs of 55. For Tuesday, chance of rain and 60.
Currently, 46 degrees.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a quick hack for setting and reaching a money goal. Try the SMART system for organizing your approach. S is for specific. What exactly is the goal? I want to save a down payment to buy my first house. M is for measurable. How will you know when you're done? I want to save $50,000. A is for achievable. Well, I'm going to have to cut spending in a few places, but I can save $1,000 a month. R is for relevant. Raising my kid in a home that we own is important for me and for her. I want her to grow up in the same place if we can afford it. And T is time. How long is it going to take? I think I can do this in about 4 years. Thinking through each of those letters is a great way to set yourself up for success when you're making money plans. For more tips on saving more and spending less, head on over to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else. Right?
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Earl
Ingram.
On the next show, it's Motown Monday, and we'll dive deep into why certain groups voted for Donald Trump and the direction of the future of our nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Music for this segment, because this segment is one where we get to listen to somebody talk from Spain. Salva and Joel were talking about their hunt, and I'm absolutely pumped to hear about this, because hearing it from someone else's point of view is even better, especially when they're living that experience in Spain. So listen to this interview with Salva, and we will talk to you when we're done.
What is up, everybody? You're listening to Raised in Wisco Spain edition. We are with Salva Monforte in Mosquera, Spain. Try saying that three times real fast. We are hunting ibex tomorrow. I tell you, I'm here. I couldn't have done this trip. It would not be the same if it were not for my friend John Thenn. John, we have talked about hunting together, and we have hunted together for years. I mean, you talk about hunting a lot. You've got a collection of whitetail on your walls that's absolutely incredible. We were at the Safari Club International Banquet a year and a half ago, and you said, man, that sounds exciting. You've never been out of the United States, and here you are with me in Spain. I need to know, what does that feel like?
It feels like, oh, boy, it's quite the adventure. Having a great time and a lot of new wines and cheeses and foods, and I'm here for the experience and the scenery and see what happens tomorrow.
Man, one of the things that a lot of people don't realize when they travel out of the United States is that when you go to a foreign country, particularly in Europe, we were talking about this, everything is small. Like the bathrooms are small. The, everywhere you go is small. And we had a record, I did the show, last week's show, talking about literally getting stuck in the bathroom because everything's tiny. There's kind of this appreciation here. I want to talk, though, for a moment, because this got literally scary for us. We were here when they had Valencia, Spain, had rainfall that they haven't had for decades. And in Valencia, Spain, 150 people died in the floodwaters. They were caught off guard, banks overflowed, and people died. And I just want to make sure that we understand the sanctity of the potential danger in situations like that, and give a moment to appreciate the rescue workers and to mourn for the dead who were there. It was an incredibly horrifying, sad experience, and we were only about 50 kilometers, which is about 35 miles away from Valencia, and we had torrential rains. There was a point that John and I were ordered by the federal government to remain in the home that we were renting, the Airbnb, and to stay on the second and third floor because they did not know if the banks on the river in Vinaros, where we were staying, were literally going to give way, and Vinaros would have flooded, and they were trying desperately to avoid a situation similar to Valencia. John and I went out. We bought water. We bought dried food. We bought Iberico pork, some dried meats that could last for a while. And I have to tell you, it was downright scary. I mean, I think probably I was a little more worried about it than John. But what were you thinking at that point? I mean, there was a point at which the government was ordering us to stay in the rooms, and the people all got off the streets. Everything closed because they did not know if the banks were going to hold the water coming down from the mountains, and it would have been another scene like Valencia.
I don't know. There were it was definitely a full prepping moment there for a minute, and I think we spent all of our last euros on food, water, cheese, meat, whatever we could eat in case we got locked up in the hotel. But it was definitely the real deal. Didn't know what to expect. We made it out of there luckily, and now we're up in the mountains at about 5,000 feet, so I feel much safer up here. Tomorrow's a big day. We're going to head out hunting and put those floods behind us and see what happens.
Yes, when we were kind of trapped there, and even our outfitter, Natalia, who's been working with us for Salvamont Forte Hunts in Mosquerella, Spain, she's been fantastic, and we were worried for just a minute if we could even get somebody to come pick us up, and we had to think for a little while, would there be a difficulty even getting to the airport if we had to, when we have to get out at the end of the trip? But fortunately, God willing, the dam did not break and the edges of the river held, so we were able to make our way into the mountains, and now we are in the mountains of Spain, and we're about to hunt ibex tomorrow. And I'm really lucky here. The person who speaks English the best at Salvamont Forte is Salva's son, Salva Junior. Salva, you are working now full time with your dad here, and you may not think so, but your English is fantastic, probably compared to my Spanish. How do you enjoy doing this for a living?
Hi everyone, I'm Salva Jr. And well, I love to hunt, to stay with my dad. He's telling me how to know how to run a business like that, a hunting business. My dad has been hunting like 30 years from now. I just started helping him. I just finished my studies and now I'm with him full time, helping, enjoying hunting, and enjoying stay with all the clients that they came.
Yes. Now, that young man right there was worried about doing the interview because he didn't know if his English was good enough. And that just should show you how awesome this kid is. Not only does he speak English, he speaks Spanish, and he is becoming a world expert on hunting the Beseti ibex. The region we're in has got essentially Beseti ibex, roe deer, and there are also some wild boars around. But what a dream to work with your dad, one of the most experienced hunters in all of Spain, and to be able to learn from him and to take his cues. Is there really anything better than when you are out on the side of the mountain hunting ibex?
Well, I mean, for me, I think it's one of the best things that you can do. I mean, go to the mountains, enjoying there, seeing the ibex, glassing, going to them. I mean, It's like a
a beautiful scene.
Yeah, I mean, and for us, it's like a
lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah, he was saying it's like a lifestyle, because when you grow up watching your father become one of the preeminent forces in hunting in all of Spain, you have such a fantastic example. And I want to tell you that when you go on a hunt like this, it is so very much about many things more than the kill. The kill of the animal is definitely part of the hunt. Obviously, that is the culmination of all the work and the scouting and making sure the rifles are on and making sure you take that safe, ethical shot. But when you get to visit an area as glorious as Mosquerella, Spain, you get to see a part of history that was put in place by the Arabic people hundreds of years ago. There are buildings here that date back to the 12th century. And in everywhere in this area, there are literally millions of rocks that are placed by hand to create walls and barriers for decades and centuries ago, the animals to stay in a certain area and to build and to be able to plant and change the course of runoff from the mountains. And seeing this, we had Tommy with us today. He was a fantastic driver up the mountain, rescued us from the floodwaters. And he showed us a part of Spain that you're just not going to see anywhere else. This is covered in these beautiful cliffs set up by the Arabic culture. Now, that's pre-Roman. That's pre-Spanish culture. That's before the Habsburgs took over and the reign of the Christian kings. When you see this and you experience, if it doesn't fill your soul, something is wrong. And I'm going to tell you, when you go on these hunts, whether it's in Wisconsin or Europe or Africa, enjoying and soaking in the culture, it becomes part of your soul much, much more than the actual kill. we're getting ready to have dinner with Salva and Natalia and Salva Junior and Tommy tonight and my friend John. And we're going to experience true cuisine from Spain, which you can get Spanish food somewhere else, but it's Spanish food in Spain. And in a setting with the trophies of these beautiful ibex adorning the walls. And Salva Junior, I have to tell you, I'm so excited that we're along with you here today. Your family has been so gracious inviting us into your home and so kind. And Tommy is funny, even if he doesn't know he's funny, right? And so tomorrow, I think I couldn't be more excited about getting out there and finding these ibex. What will we do to try to find them? And how high are we on the mountains?
Okay, so tomorrow we will go to the mountains. We will start glassing a bit. We will go up in the mountains, first of all. And then we are going to drive a bit through the mountains, glassing, until we get to the top point. And we will, for sure, there's going to be an ibex there that we haven't seen. That is your ibex.
Ah.
So you're excited to tomorrow or not?
Oh, my gosh. Am I excited tomorrow or not? That is the question of the century, but I think you know it's already answered. Everything about this experience excites me as much as the kill, the hunt, the culture, the people, the food. I can't express to you enough. You hear this energy that I've got, and it's because there's really nothing more fulfilling in life than people. People are really what a hunting adventure is about. The people you meet, the experiences you have, the food you get to take part in. Yeah. And folks, I tell it to you all the time. Get out of the box. Press the yes button. Look up Salva Monforte. Check out his Instagram and YouTube videos and see what a beautiful area and existence they have. Folks, so excited to have brought you that segment from Spain. I'm Joel Clayfish. This is Raised in Wisco, Spain edition.
And that was Salva Monforte Jr. And
I cannot help but smile.
You were just chuckling away during his whole interview. I mean, what a great kid he is. He was so great.
Good English, too.
Fantastic English. And they put so much into it to make you have an experience of a lifetime. And when he said, we're going to come up and we're going to find an ibex, and that is your ibex. And I'm thinking to myself, that is my ibex. I am going to find that ibex. And the reality of it is that hunt was so tough the next day. And we did see several ibex, lots of females and nothing of any size, you know, nothing they wanted to kill, because, you know, you want them to grow to be mature animals, have a good life. But what an experience, man, I'm telling you.
The beginning part where you're like, the bathrooms were so small and I got stuck in one, but then an absolutely terrifying moment happened. Like, you went from the terrifying moment right from the bathroom. Okay. That's the part I caught on to.
I want to point out, the bathrooms are so tiny in Europe. And I went into one of the bathrooms and they have these automatic lights on everything. And while I was in this miniature bathroom, the lights went out. And I could not find the switch to put my hand in front of it, the motion switch. So I was stuck in this little bathroom and I couldn't find my way out. I think I was like literally pinned between the little mini toilet and the wall.
That's crazy.
In the bathroom. And if I would say help, nobody would even know what I was saying. So I thought, right, I got to just feel my way out of this.
Figure it out.
It took an extra 20 minutes to get out of the bathroom.
The key, what you said in that whole like interview, the people, the food. People. And that's what I took away from North Dakota this year too. It was not the best hunting, but we laughed. We had a great time. Same thing. We met a bunch of new farmers. It was a good time.
That's fantastic.
Look at you guys going on vacations, quote unquote, hunting trips.
I work on my hunting trips.
Oh, I know you do.
Oh, boy.
You work on,
I do. I talked about beef half the time I was out there.
That's true.
I'm just over here having my weekly Wisco shooting pheasants with Josh and his kid. But they got the first pheasant, father-son pheasant, and I took them on that hunt.
Oh, that is exciting. It was
really great.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. I can't wait. We're going to talk about food.
Woo!
always a highlight of Raised in Wisco. Two dishes we're talking about. They both turned out awesome.
From the center, WRCE. The Todd Alma Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently, one of the classes I was teaching, saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santa. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Doesn't Ricky Martin just make you happy?
Absolutely.
Ricky Martin just makes me happy.
I need to listen to this on the way to work. My 10-minute drive.
It's a pump-up for sure. This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman. If you miss Raised in Wisco, you can listen to all of our episodes. Download them. Go to civicmedia.us. Look up the show Raised in Wisco. You can also look us up on Spotify and Apple Podcasts just by searching for Raised in Wisco.
There's so much to talk about.
We have too much. I mean,
more importantly, a week from now is the biggest tradition in Wisconsin as an outdoorsman.
The Orange Army.
Yep.
Do you know what the Orange Army is?
Us.
600,000 people deer hunting.
Yeah,
that is larger than most countries' armies.
Isn't that crazy? This is
in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it just blows your mind. Yep.
Yes, I feel like, you know what, this show makes me realize how much we all do in 1 week.
Right.
Holy
it's
cow!
It's exhausting.
It is so exhausting, but it's so fun. Producer Jess, does it blow your mind all of the junk we do in 1 week?
Well, especially when you get to it in your weekly Wiscos.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a jab at us.
That was a little bit of a little. She was jabbing at us.
I have this
bit.
Knife right here in my back. Can you grab
Producer
it real quick?
Jess is saying, stay on track, you morons.
Squirrel. It took all Squirrel. Week. All hour.
Man. And then at the end of the day.
Talk about
the food. So. I want to tell you about the enchiladas that I made in Spain. So I asked them what kind of food they wanted. They said Mexican, which is funny because Spain founded Mexico. And the Mexican people are a combination of the indigenous people of Mexico and Spaniards, right? They said Mexican food. And I thought, Mexican food? And they're like, yeah, we can't get good Mexican what? Food here. So I made Ibex enchiladas. So I made the Ibex. I cooked it in an old-fashioned pressure cooker on the stove. Turned out tender, delicious. Did my standard recipe with lemon juice, oil, and provider seasonings. It was unbelievable. Then we had tortillas. And that was like basically all we had. I found one jar of like Doritos salsa at the store.
Oh, yeah.
So I bought that to put in it.
Yeah.
But then I used a local tomato sauce, and I just used a local tomato sauce from Mascarella, Spain. Try saying that.
Mascarella.
Mascarella?
I want to say mozzarella.
I think
I like mozzarella.
Mozzarella.
I probably did.
Mascarella. Mascarella.
So what are they actually known for, real quick? I know, forget, like, food-wise. What is it?
Paella.
Oh.
This is the paella region, and Salva Monforte Senior made paella. I made a seafood paella.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh. It was unbelievable.
Interesting.
It had squid and cuttlefish in
what?
It.
What?
And it had shrimp.
You
was,
lost me. I'm gone. Yeah, not a chance.
So game over.
Delicious. Yep. Nope.
I appreciate
Jess
that. You
knows,
can do
Jess
that.
Jess is nodding. She gets it.
I'll take it.
Yeah, it was delicious. So I made these. I made it with a local tomato sauce, seasoned it, and I like to soften my enchilada sauce with cream. So I used a local cream from Mascaruela, and I made it, and they were all doubting it the whole way. Like, they made a secondary dinner. I put that out. They ate it all, and they were like, awesome. This is really, really good.
Such a compliment to you, too.
Friends visit. Like, relatives were visiting, and they took the meat that I made and gave it to them and said, take this home and make something. It's aww. Really good. I felt so good. I felt so good.
Next time you go over there to shoot an Ibex, the price is going to be triple because everybody's going to be eating them now.
They're going to eat them now. And that's one of the which guys awesome. Said to me, I'm not feeding this to the dogs anymore. Yeah. This is not going to be dog food anymore.
So it's a dark red meat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a dark red meat. And I'm telling you, it's the same recipe, base recipe I use with geese. We've talked about it on the show a million times. Try it. Try it. Try it. Try it. It's so easy. And people are like, oh, you're a good cook. And it's, I cheat. I do this basic meat that is so easy to put into anything you like. You want Italian? Add oregano. You want Mexican? Add cumin. You want Chinese? Add ginger. I mean, really, you can just mold it to whatever.
And people can find that basic. Your base recipe.
My base recipe is all over the place on the provider website. I think we've had it on Raised in Wisco. Mm-hmm. You're essentially stewing the meat or crock potting it or pressure cooking it. I have to talk about another recipe, though.
Oh, man.
Because I made it today. So all of us who got together, Danielle, you mm-hmm. seem to have skipped it, but everybody who got together, we must have had some kind of super spreader event because everybody had a cold after the barbecue. So I made soup today. I made a sautéed garlic and onion stuffed mushroom bisque.
Oh, ew, no.
What?
What?
Nope.
Where's
what
that?
What don't you
mushrooms.
Like about it?
Mushrooms.
Oh,
not
that's right. You don't like mushrooms.
Chance.
Joel brought in some.
We had, wow, what was on top of the mushrooms?
It was a meat mixture with fennel in it.
Yeah, it was
oh, the socks. Type of animal.
Socks. We had those as socks.
What?
We ate socks on top of mushrooms with fennel.
What are you talking
like,
about?
Like animal. What are you talking about?
What was
about?
The animal we ate on top of the mushrooms?
The,
llama?
Alpaca.
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 You ate alpaca?
We had alpaca stuffed mushrooms.
Oh, my goodness. Was that good?
It was incredible.
She just did like a meatball
Ellie,
on top
Ellie
of the mushrooms, so I just
Smaller
ate
made
the
stuffed
the
mushrooms,
meat.
And they were incredible. But I diced them and sauteed them with the onions and garlic. And
wait,
then
there was leftovers?
Used that as a bit. Yeah, I'm glad you didn't know about them. You'd have taken those too. She'd have taken those too.
I love food. Leave me alone.
Yes. Well, you don't love mushrooms, obviously.
Yeah. So everything's got to have mushrooms in it.
I love good food,
so
I should say this.
I added sweet, heavy cream to that and some homemade turkey stock.
Yeah.
To that,
and
then reduced it without any. I didn't make a roux. I just reduced it. That's the difference between a bisque and a cream soup. A cream soup uses a roux, which is flour and butter, and a bisque is just a reduction of the essentials that you put in it. And it turned out so incredible. It was unbelievable.
This voice goes perfectly with the recipe.
You probably would have liked it even with the mushrooms.
You should have brought that, even though these goose, garlic and cheddar. Goose sticks are
I did,
phenomenal.
I brought in goose sticks for everybody tonight.
But that
and
soup
I'm
sounds
end
great.
A show like this.
Oh.
If you haven't taken a chance with Wild Game, think outside of the box. Look up a recipe on Raised in Wisco. Give it a try. It will change your palate and your mind. Danielle, take us out.
Compete with that one. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. We love having you on here. Don't forget to go to Spotify, Apple Music, and go to Facebook and give us a like. Stay safe out there. Good luck next week with the Orange Army. Shoot straight. Be safe. See you next week.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be joined by Tom Moore from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We'll discuss Trump's personnel selection process and recess appointments. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Progressive presents Employee of the Month. Small Business Edition. Today's recipient from Lucky Larry's Landscaping, Larry! Larry saved his business money with a quick commercial auto quote from Progressive. Does it help he's his own marketing manager, accountant, executive assistant, and never been late? Technically, yes, but saving really put him over the edge. So, Larry, give Larry a round of applause. Be your own Larry. See if you could save in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.